The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Stranger Inside is the latest crime novel from bestseller Amanda Cassidy. This is book number 4. The story revolves around a midwife, Kira Duffy, who wakes up, believe this or not, to find her husband dead next to her. Now, that might be that terribly unusual, but this one, he was stabbed through the heart. Now, she's arrested and charged with his murder, and despite her adamant protest that she's innocent, and you ask yourself, how could she be innocent? She also has to consider her young daughter's ill health. She struggles to find the true murderer and reunite with her child. And then she realises along the way she cannot trust anybody. Amanda, good morning and welcome. What a story.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me in today.
Now, having read this book, and I read it at a pace because it is a real page-turning thriller, I thought to myself, this will make a great movie.
Yes, hopefully.
It's got everything in
it. That's the dream.
It's got everything. When you start to write a book like this, which has lots of twists and turns, and we're not going to spoil anything by giving any of those twists away, do you know when you start out what the twist is going to be?
That's a really good question. Yes, I do, for the most part. I do start the book by asking myself one central question, usually. In this case, I ask myself, what would happen if everything you held dear, your voice, your reputation, your freedom, was stripped from you, and all you had left is one truth that nobody believed? How far would that push you to go for somebody that you loved? So for me, it starts with a central premise like that. And then I just let the feeling take me over, and I'll usually know what the twist is. But the ending, I'm never really sure of the ending until I get there.
But you knew what the twist was going to be.
Yeah, and it is quite a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Now, let's talk about your main character, Kira, and what sort of situation she's in. I mean, she's struggling along, really.
Yeah, Kira is a midwife. The book is based in Dublin, and she's finding it very difficult to cope with life without her husband being around before he's murdered. So when she's arrested for his murder, she really needs to go and find out who did this and what happened. So in order to research this book, which I call The Fugitive, but with a perimenopausal protagonist, I really wanted to get the setting right. And a lot of the book is set in a prison. So I did go in and I researched this by going into a prison, because I feel like when you write a book as an author, you have a pact, an unspoken pact between the reader and yourself, that they're going to give you your attention and I'm their attention, and I'm going to give them something that's worth turning the pages for.
Now, you went into a prison to research what it would be like to be in a women's prison.
Yes, I did. I went into the Mountjoy female prison.
The Docus.
Yes, I went into the Docus, and I had some amazing experiences in there. So very sobering. But I think I wanted to make sure that the reader could feel the authenticity of the story.
You have a quote from your character. The longer she stayed in Logan, the angrier Kira seemed to feel about the inequalities that she saw every day. What she had realised was that most of the women in there had never really had a chance. Most were born into poverty, crime accepted as a way of life for some. And the tiered system that existed in the outside world had only stretched that gap further. That was your own personal observation, which you've given to Kira.
Yeah, I think life is so messy and unresolvable and unjust. And so to write and channel what I feel into fiction, and I suppose with my background in journalism too, so I used to work here in News Talk, but I think to channel that into my fiction can be quite powerful. And to be able to control the endings of a story is intoxicating, that you can, I don't know, find some chaos and resolve it in some way.
And was it your journalism at the heart of your preoccupation with crime?
Yeah, I would have covered a lot of crime. I worked in Sky News Ireland as well and in the UK. So I would have covered a lot of crime stories. But I think with journalism, you spend your life searching for the truth. With my work in corporate communications, I work in Deloitte in the communications comms department. And I think there we shape the truth via brand and reputation. And I think when it comes to writing fiction, you're creating entirely new truths. So to be able to bring them all together and use the core of all of those things that I do is storytelling. So to be able to bring that all together and channel it into fiction can be really powerful and something I enjoy doing.
Now, you grew up in a pub, is that right?
That's right, in Maynooth and Kildare.
Now, you have the idea, certainly back in the day, I'm not sure how true it is today with people on their phones more than anything else when they're in pubs, but the idea that people are sitting around over a couple of pints telling stories.
That's right. I think I learned the rhythm of storytelling before I even put pen to paper. So I grew up above the pub in Maynooth, my dad ran, and I would hear the old men, you know, those men who prop up the counter, and they'd be talking about stories and they'd know when to lean in at the right moment, when to hold that pause. And so when I came to being older and I found an outlet in journalism to be able to, I suppose, write that same beat of stories, and I've been doing it ever since.
Now, you have chosen to write standalone stories. There are no characters that recur in your books. Is that quite a deliberate thing, that you can pick up your book in the airport or the train station or whatever, and you don't have to know anything about the characters? You're going to learn about them in this new book.
Yeah, I like creating characters, and I do. There's a lot of emphasis on the emotional relationships between people in all of my books as a common theme. But I like them to have their moment, to dance for the reader, to press my own parts of my own life into the pages too, because that's what you do as a writer. You put a lot of fragments of your own life into the books. And then I like to move on to the next thing, into the next setting. Setting in particular is quite key in a lot of my books. And I've been to a lot of the places that I write about, whether it's Florida or the south of France in my last book, The Perfect Place. And I think that it also stems from some of my work as a travel journalist. You know, I want people to pay attention to mood and tension in the book.
It seems like only yesterday when I read The Perfect Place. I can't realise it. It must be a year, is it, since...
It is. It's exactly a year. I write a book a year at the moment, and it's usually an August publication. So it has been a year since
it has been a year. The Perfect Place, I mean, it was very much set in the contemporary world, because we had a young woman who was an influencer, I suppose, and found the perfect place, which turned out to be far from for those who've read the book. And that business of writing truly contemporary fiction, I mean, you went into the world of the influencer and all of that entailed in that one. And here with the midwife, you have someone who's kind of, you know, two income families, except one half of the income, he's not great at earning it. You know, so it's a story of contemporary Irish life.
Yeah, I do like writing about things that I see day to day, that I experience, and that I hear about. At the end of the day, it's stories, and you know, it's dangerous being around me because I'll steal your stories a lot of the time. But I'm a watcher in general. I'm a watcher, and I'm an eavesdropper, and I absorb a lot of other people's stories, my own stories, and then I channel them into fiction. And a lot of the time, they are contemporary. Plus, I can't imagine having to go back and write maybe historic fiction and really getting the level of detail, just those details, so right. So.
Because there will be someone out there who'll know to the contrary if you get it wrong.
You're dead right. That's exactly it. But I do. And a woman at the airport, when I was signing books in W.H. Smith the other day at the airport, she said to me, I'm taking this book and I've got a transatlantic flight and it's the only book I'm taking on this flight. And so I think that responsibility resonates with me so much that, you know, if they're giving you your attention, you've got to make it worth it for them and you've got to make it authentic.
Now, that was instant feedback from someone who actually met you and knew you were the author. Do you get much feedback from your readers?
Yes, and that's one of the best parts of being an author, and with social media, you get that intimacy with readers. They come to you and they tell you whether they like it, and they definitely tell you if they haven't liked it. But I'm somebody who takes a lot of that on board. I'll read all my reviews, good, bad or indifferent, because this is my career and I want to get better at it all the time. So any feedback that someone says, and you know, with a pinch of salt, if it just hasn't arrived because Amazon was delayed, you know, whatever. But for the most part, that's really valuable feedback that you're getting. And I love the interaction. People love the characters. They connect with them. I write to connect with people. And it's that engagement that really drives me and fuels me.
Now, the setting in this one, very much Dublin and parts around Dublin, prisons and so on. But it could transfer to anywhere. I mean, it doesn't have to be a stereotypically Dublin book. You could set this in Manchester. You could set this in New Jersey, I suspect.
Yeah, and sometimes it's important to do that because you do have one eye all the time on if they turn it into a TV show or into a movie. The first two books have been optioned for TV, which is always exciting. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it is exciting to know that that's not the main reason why.
It's like putting a deposit on something. You know, it means they have the right to hang on to it for the duration of the option. And then if they don't make it, it comes back to you.
Exactly. But setting it in Dublin, I went to school in the Institute of Education. I went to college in Trinity. So I've been around Dublin my whole life. And I really wanted to set this book very much in the city centre, having, you know, Ciara maybe run around the city centre trying to decide what she's going to do next to go to her daughter. But you're right, it could be lifted. It could be transplanted anywhere. Maybe the Maldives, and maybe they'll make it into a movie.
And you get to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what's on the stocks now? You're already, I'm sure, well on the way to number five.
That's right. My fifth book is out 27, actually, and I've changed publishers. So I'm with Penguin. I'm going to
go. So no book next year.
No book next year.
What
sorry.
Do I do?
So I got a lovely two book deal with Penguin in the US and the UK. So I'm going to be working on that. It's called Beautiful Liars. And it's actually set in your hometown, in Dorky and Killiney.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Yeah, but there's wolves, so be careful.
I'll watch out for them. The red squirrel is about the only, and the badger, of course, my friends, the badgers, wildlife in Dorky. Anyway, the book is brilliant. You will read it virtually in one sitting. Certainly, if you're taking a plane journey, it'll keep you riveted all the way through. It's called The Stranger Inside, and the subtitle on the cover, Someone Got In, Now She Has to Get Out.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Amanda Cassidy, its author, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.